let's analyze Makkah Bapaj. So Gemara, we got to start with Gemara, Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis. So the Gemara, Ayin Hey Amud Beis as follows. There's a rule, Komidi the Ispe Gemara Malacha Chayim Hashem Makkah Bapaj. One line, that's one line, it includes worlds. Take a look at Rabosai, just to give an idea of how far this goes. We'll see the Mordechai in the back. The Chiddush Nifla Menorah Ad-Mod, name of the Yerayim. Simen Simen Tov Samach Aleph, what's called Perek Habonim. It's over here, Rabosai. It's on page Mem Gimel. In our print, in the new print. This is called Hagos Mordechai, Perek Habonim. Question, Dear Bekalim, he wants to know, how can Rav say Yesh Binyan Bekalim, but Rav says elsewhere, there's no Binyan of Dear Bekalim. How do you know? The Sikh and Bekalim, they don't have Dear Gdolim Bizum. So there's no Dear, no Binyan. We'll come back to that Rav and we get to Groma. Pirish Ram, or let's admit, Rav Amish and Bona Pirish, Morazu, this whole Mechuseris Binyan, the Chasaran Shukta, with the handle is not attached to it. Hilkoch, Eino mishamaka bepadish, she'eino nikra maka bepadish, ela bedavar she'eino mechus binyan, she'akos hapadish uliachad gemar binyan. Lama rab mishamboneh, lama shuchai mishamboneh, ve'en binyan bekelim, ela hasiro mitamaka bepadish. Wow, sheli olam bechaseros binyan lo tiyam locha bemaka bepadish. Amazing, amazing line over here. But the Gemara says Mishimbona doesn't mean Mishimbona. It's just not Mishimaka Bapadish. Not that. Right? Doesn't mean it's here. It's Bona. It is no Maka Bapadish. Why? Because Maka Bapadish is only Gemara Malach, as we saw, after the thing is already considered to be a Kli. Before it's considered to be a Kli, can't possibly be Maka Bapadish. So we go back to our Sefer Binyan Shabbos, who was our main man when it comes to these Malachas. It's an obvious Kasha. It says over here in the Gemara, not Memches. Why? Dr. Rashi and most Rishonim, Maka Bapatish. Wait a minute, you have this piece of cloth and you punch a hole through it and make it into a t-shirt or something like that. So before you did it, it was not really a Kli, it wasn't really there. So therefore, why, according to this rule we just saw in the Mordechai, why is it a Rechiv of Maka Bapatish? That's Kasha number one. Another Kasha is we smart and Beit Salam and Gimel. We'll get to again. In the Suda Kufman Vav, we'll get to it soon. Kote and Kisa, you make a toothpick, you chai my Mishamaka Bapatish, if you chisel it down. Before it was just a block of wood, it wasn't really a Gemara Kli. Another Kashas. Answers the Binyan Shabbos, yes, it's true. It may not have been a Kli, a full Kli, but all the material for a Kli was there. Just missing a little fine tuning, chiseling the block of wood to make it into a toothpick. Punching a hole in the material to make it into a t-shirt, but it's already there. Basically, the Gufa Kli is already there. You have to open it up, to chisel it down, that's considered to be Maka Bapadish. And that's what the Meiri says, the same yourself. The Meiri says, Rebosai, and that Kuf Dalet, Sugya Kosei, which we talked about, that if you have you write a letter and finish a Sefer, that's not called Maka Bapadish. You still, because before that it was Sefer was complete. Maka Bapadish is only if it's already complete, and now you're just putting the finishing touches. The last letter is not a finishing touch. It's just as important as the first 10,000 letters that were in the Sefer. That's what the Meiri says, and that's Kuf Dalet. This is the Yesod which we have. As a matter of fact, this Yesod itself is quoted by the so-called Ran, and I find Gimel, has to be Kvar Nasa Kli before the Chiyuv of Maka Bapadish. All right? So it's many Rishonim say it. But it's a problem. The problem is, seems to be a counter example. And that is, Nofeach Beklei Zchuchis. Chai Mishamaka Bapadish on Ayin Hayim and Beis. When you blow out, is that the word? Blow glass? That's what the things use the same word today, right? The glass blowing factories. So you just took a piece of nothing and you made it into a beautiful glass cup, bowl, whatever shape you happen to put in. So why is that considered to be a Makar Patish? Answers Iran, it's the second time. The first time you blew it, you made it into its shape. Now you're just perfecting it. That's Makar Patish. This is the so which many, many posts can have. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Igros Moshe, says it on his own, the same thing. And he has a Diyak Alosh. Hamanapeah Bi Kli Lukas. Remember Moshe's vote, we'll get to soon, but Bid Caleb. Bi! It already was a Kli Lukas before you blew into it. Then it's Makar Patish. Otherwise, not. Yes, sir.
Couldn't you give the same answer that the materials are already there?
I guess you could, but because it was not really, if it was. There, the materials are in a, more or less in a shape, just it's not chiseled properly. We said those examples by Colton Keyes. You gotta chisel it down, but the is a block of wood, things of this nature. But over here, just a plain, I don't know how to make glass, just a molten material. It's nothing, that's raw material. I think the way you blow glass, you have this, yeah. Am I correct?
I've seen
also, there was one corny way there.
Yeah.
It is melted stuff, and you blow it, that's nothing, it melted stuff. I mean, everything in the world is made from raw material, since first day of creation, for the Ramban. So it's Yesh Miayin. Ever since then, even Shesh Migration was Yesh Miayesh. Nothing is Yesh Miayin. So, but still, I guess you're at the judgment call, what's considered to be what? It's a good question. Okay? So, the same thing applies over here. Sar Tzura, right over here, the same sugi over here. Turned up iron hammered base. Big Kli, in other words, there is some kind of a Kli, and you're making it an additional Tzura out of it. Not Tzura Kli, Tzura Tzura Big Kli. It started off as a Kli. Or the Gemara over here, Haimad the Shokil Akupi Miglimi. What's this? What does this mean? Akupi, you have a garment, and there's some threads sticking out. You remove them. Again, it's basically there. Those are what the post was saying. Fine. That's rule number one with respect to Makar Patish. Rule number one, found the Gemara. Okay. What'll happen, Rav Osai, if it already was fixed? Fixed, done, completely. And now I want to do something else in addition. After it's completely done. What about that kind of a case? Take a look, Rav Osai, Mishnah Brura, Shin Yud Zayin, Sivkot Mechav Gimel. Shin Yud Zayin, Rav Osai, Sivkot Mechav Gimel. Shulchan Aruch says, we'll get to it a little bit later in more detail. Matirin Beis Atzava Mikesh Shikshar Koveis, Shenikesh Shikayama, Avlein Tosu Mechal Mitakan Monohu, Avilu Kfar Niftach, Shekhazar Uman Ukshara Utfar Biachad, that's the sheet of the Machmir. So Mr. Brewer writes in Chav Gimel. Okay. Shar Kshiros Shari. It's not considered from an Uman. Shar Kshiros Shari. Why is Shar Kshiros Shari? Why is it considered to be Makar Patish? No. It's just removing something. I'll give another mush. Look at the Ramah in Simon Shin Beis Sif Aleph. In the old case, it was totally completed, and after it's completed, so you tie it again for transportation purposes. What is the Ramah over here in Simon Shin Beis Sif Aleph? Muta lahosir notzos min abegad b'shabbos. Some feathers or lint falls on your garment on Shabbos. Nothing. He thought it's not considered to be an Isur of Libun. It's external. For the same reason, it's not considered to be Makar Patish because it was already completed. Just something fell on it. That's not considered to be Makar Patish. Now, it's interesting. How do you know if it's completed or not completed? Depends on the artisan, the Uman. Uman has a finished product. Uman has a finished product. He finished the suit. It's finished completely. The fact that something fell on it, that's not going to phase the Uman. He did his job already. And therefore, since no Umanus is involved, it's not considered to be an issue of Makar Patish. This is found in the Rabbeinu Chananel. It's an R print on the bottom of Iron Hammer Bays, the last line. Initial going ale about the beggar of Alabai's copper alive, the shovel of the Shabbos, Kaivish of Makar Patish. Why? It's a Gemara Malacha, okay? And the impression conveyed over here is that the definition, Shemashlema Uma Malachto, next to the last line, Karoshi Nimen Atkliyim Ben Kisim Eklipa, etc., etc., Akupi. So that's the Uma. If the Uma is Machbid, that he hasn't finished his job yet, then it's Chayv Maka Bepatch. However, the Uma finished his job, and somebody else does something which is of no consequence, really, that's not considered to be Maka Bepatch. So again, the first rule was, if it's not complete yet, it's not Maka Bepatch. Maybe it's Binyan, if it's Bekel, if not, not, nothing. Second rule is, if it's Fakert, completely completed, the Rebbe took the Gamre, and something falls on it, but the Uma, none do with the Uma, again, there's no din of Maka Bepatch in this case, either. Then we come to another interesting rule. There's a fascinating Rabbeinu Chananel again, where he talks about this concept, tells us that Maka Bepadish is if you're not chayav for anything else. Watch this, the third from the last line. Iyai tsura ispe osios the mikru chayav mishum kosev vilav. So the Rach is saying over here, there's a chiyuv of kosev, by definition, there's no chiyuv of maka b'patish. The Rach is the same thing on the Mishnah, that there's no maka b'patish, only applies, quote, lo havia malacha mitzad asma. It's the Rach and the fine gimel. The Rach said it over here. The Rach said it in the Kuf Pei B'Misates. That's how most posts come home. So they have three conditions. Keep adding them up. Has to be number one, the fundamental malacha is completed, just put it the finishing touch. Number two, the Uman is still interested. If the Uman is already gone, then it's not called finishing touch anymore. It's just something fell on it. Nothing. Number three, if you chayav for a different malacha, it's also not considered to be maka b'patish. Okay? That's number three. Number four, you have to, as we said before, an Uman has to be makbid to fix it up. That explains why the posts have different leniencies, which has nothing to do with an Uman, sort of a similar malacha as before, similar concept as before. Okay. What happens, Rabbi Osai, if something was 100% done, as we said before, 100% done, and some feathers fall, that's nothing. Because you can argue, wear the suit with the feathers or something. What if it becomes somewhat vakulko, and now it's in a situation you can use it only b'dochak. Take a look at the post can talk about the situation of a needle which is tilted a little bit. A little tiny bit. You're not supposed to straighten it out. It's only us to b'drabon. We call that b'taken mona. B'taken mona usually means to din d'rabonah. I had a shower just last night. Guess what? Somebody's glasses fell out. This morning. Somebody's glasses fell out. The child's glasses. There's a tumble. You're allowed to put it back. Mamash, we spoke about Barichas Gadol. So I said, look, if it keeps falling in and out, no problem. If not, then it's a potential problem. I said, one of the people told him, the Rabbanim in the Holy City said, no problem at all. Another rabbi said, it's a Shabbat Doraisa. We're going from Akotza to Akotza. I said, it's likely they're Rabbanon, and that's why I told my story with the Goy in Rosh Hashanah, when he put in for me, the fireman, because we said it's a Shvus to Shvus B'makom, I guess a mitzvah, to appear with the regular glass instead of rec specs in front of the Holy Ark on Rosh Hashanah. And they said that Shemiz Baruch wouldn't mind, but the Balabat would have trouble with it. So I told him that story, and I think, not as our rights, I don't think that kind of a case, but to be Mutter, it's also not so Pasha. It could be said the Rabbanon. Again, they're different. It's called metakin mana. Usually means that they're rabbana. Usually, they might be a little bit worse because you really can't to use that way. And then the final thing, which is interesting, which comes up in some of the examples we'll have to get to soon. What happens in the following case situation? The kli itself is fine, but something else is stuck onto it. Not stamina. It's just a little bit lint. That's nothing. No, it's stuck on it to a point that it prevents you from using it. Not good thing. Even that's mutter. The interesting original model is the Gemara of Osai on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. They have an expression of Fitake Mona. Okay, that we know that you fix a kli. That expression means a level drop on it usually. Well, guess what? If you look at the Gemara on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, you'll see something that not only is a kli subject to what we call tikkun, but even a human being, a human being, pocket, the Rashi is the sixth, fifth, narrow line, hakol tazeh, eino mechuber bo, elamufka venas v'sham v'otzozu, eino tikkun. So if something is just attached, it's not really part of you, it's just a thorn in someone's body, a splinter in someone's body, that's not considered to be tikkun odom. And so similarly, with respect to tikkun kli, the Rambam writes in Perek Chav Beis, based on Yerushalmi, if the thorns got into your garment, you can take them out one at a time without ripping anything. Ripping anything. Okay. This is something which the post can say, something external and beyond would not be considered Makkah B'Patish. These are some of the rules of Makkah B'Patish, not all of them, but a pretty thorough list. All right, boss, so let's go right to what I want to talk about today, which is something which you spent a lot of time on the first time around, which is completion of an electric circuit. Is that a violation of Bona or Makkah B'Patish? Big tum. We spoke about the two letters back and forth between Reb Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish. Let's review briefly, you can't go into every letter, prat and prat, that correspondence, you know, a correspondence for the ages, and I told you it was done in 1948. We know about Israeli history, there's a war going on. But we have the Mechat Lashon Torah, the words that were sent under less than optimal conditions, from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, back and forth, in the month that they were able to send mail. I'm sure there were other months in that year you could not send mail. People sent the siege. But no, I think it was Menachem Av. I think that's what the date on it. And if you go read the history books, it must have been some kind of a hafugah, some kind of a ceasefire or something when they were able to send mail back and forth. And the opportunity was used for these immortal letters to be sent between the Gedolei Olam. So, Shlomo Zalman read in Chazon Ish, and Sefer Chazon Ish, something which seemed to indicate to him that if you make a circuit or break a circuit, that it's a serious violation. He says, Oy Gewalt, when my mother, he writes, was hard of hearing, he checked with one of the Gedolim of Yerushalayim who was no longer alive when he wrote the letter, and was able to put the hearing aid on, turn it off, because it was a Shas Hadchak. And they said, we're not building anything, we're just using something. That's not called building at all. Well, the Chazon Ish says there are two reasons why we might consider it to be bona. Number one, you are putting things together. And in Chazon Ish speak, this may be considered the category of toka. You saw what toka on Thursday. Toka is the highest level, right? There's toka, and then there's luhudak, and then there's ruffle. So toka doesn't have to be something according to Chazon Ish. You take a hammer and nails and bang it in. There is a rashi like that in one place. But anything which is tight is toka. Here, the it's not tight because of some physical tightness. The fact that it creates an electric circuit, and if something's considered tight, it's so tight that you can, with electric circuit, you can blow up the world with an electric circuit. So that's considered to be a tight connection. That's considered to be toka. That's reason number one, Chazon Ish writes in his first letter. And reason number two, you have taken that dead wire and put life into it. He called it Mimavas Lechayim. This itself is considered to be a violation of Bona. Aye, Reb Shlomo Zalman asked him, don't we have a principle known as Kisui Kalim? We spoke about this a little bit on Thursday as well. Kisui Kalim, where you open and close and open and close. You fill it up the bottle with the milk, and then you close it to feed the baby, and open it up and down, fill it again, wash it up. No, same thing over here. He says, no, this Chazon Ish. Again, it spoke about it on Thursday. The only time we say that this heter exists is when it's used in both modes. The bottle is used when it's open, used when it's closed. When it's open to fill it up, when it's closed to feed the baby. Over here, It's only used when the circuit is complete. Why do you break the circuit? Ah, it's the same in your electricity bill. That says it's called Bevat Study, a side consideration. That, we don't have the heter of Kisu Ken. If you look at the Prima Gadim, frankly, it sounds right. This is the Kuda of the Chazanish. And it's Raiyas and Bita Shel Tarsiyin. So in that Mem Zayin. There you put together a bed that you put together, you take it apart for transportation purposes. And you chayim. Why you chayim? It's meant to be put together, taken apart. Says Chazanish, the answer is, no. You don't take it apart to use it in its taken apart state. You take it apart only for purposes of transportation. That's similar to the situation of electricity. That's Rav Chazanish's first letter. Shlomo Zalman says he doesn't understand the concept of Mavas L'chaim. All the wire is doing is it's transporting current. That's all. Not doing anything. It moves the current from the power station to all the wires into the building and everywhere, and into this particular utensil. Why didn't you take the wire into something which is Mavas L'chaim? He doesn't understand. More than that, it's all based on an external source, the power station. The power station goes out, there's a blackout or something like that, it stops. So that's not binyan. Binyan is something which is independent. It's completely dependent upon a constant power source coming in. Writes the Chazanish in the second letter. He says, quote, and that's a quotation. True in science, you're right, Rav Shlomo Zalman. All it does is transports current. It's not no big deal. But we don't always follow science, despite Torah Mada. Quote, it's called there for a tikkun mana. Shlomo Zalman said, what do you mean? Every time you warm up something, the metal gets warm, you're going to say it's mivavas l'chaim? He says, no. Das shimush poshet, to warm up metal. Lav manu, to call akshamim hakrius bachomim etzem hatir shalem. That's either hot or cold. Yesterday was pretty hot, today it's cold. Big deal. Aval davar ha'nasei de'harkovas me'odem b'chokhma v'kisharon zeh inyan ha'binyan sheh b'mishkan b'chashiv ha'moloch. In the binyan Shabbos, he considers it to be an additional svara. And I think it's the same svara he said before. Just explain why this idea of nosing tzuru l'geshem as it's lashon in Chazanish v'Chazanish. Fine. And anyway, it's a chiddush nifla, Chazanish said. You have to admit, it's a chiddush nifla. Godel Hador said it. Didn't really have a riot for it. We find that Lashon B'nei Adam can be a p'tur. We'll see later, maybe we'll get to certain things. That if people call it cleaning and don't call it selection, there's no malach of borer. It's a shulti geborer like that. All right. What about the second question of Shlomo Zalman? That it's not independent. It's based upon a power source. Says Chazanish, you're right. But that power source is not being created by human intervention. Set an automatic, an autopilot. Depends upon the Baal Bechir, as he puts it, then that's nothing. But here it's all going on by itself. Shlomo Zalman responds in Mincha Shlomo, he didn't write another third letter, that, well, but in the power station, there are people who are doing things. Push, that's really true, people doing it, but the main thing works by itself. This comes backwards. What about using the electricity on Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael? Chazanish was against it because it's Chil Shabbos and other than Megillah because it's going by itself. It's the other way around. That's a problem which you have to figure out how to get around. Anyway, this is a fascinating question. Fascinating question. The issue of whether we should treat the electric circuit as being tokay or not may depend on the shadow tree we spoke about, which is based on Avraham and Avraham. What is the definition? According to the Ravid, quoting the Magen Avraham, it's tokea even without, quote, gevura v'yumnus. Even if it's made easily. So the Chazanish might be based upon the Ravid. Right? There's no gevura v'yumnus in electricity, just press a button, it's nothing. Okay. Shlomo Zalman's contrasting argument, they don't need Gevurah V'yumnus, will work only according to the Smag, quoted by the Magen Avraham there, who says that you chai because of Gevura v'yumnus, which you don't have over here. In turn, this question of whether you need Gevura v'yumnus or not, according to the Eli Rabbah, is a shayla, is the chiyah mishum bone or makah b'patish. I'm going to go into that right now, but if you look up the Eli Rabbah, it's Siv Ches, Simon Shinjib Gimel, I believe, he has this discussion. Okay, fine. So this is a part of the dispute between the two Gedolim with respect to completing an electric circuit. And we saw in the Megillah Sefer, he says that there's some utensils, some that they cannot be used with the machine going all the time, like a refrigerator. Goes all the time, it's Mekulko. Either the motor's going to break, or the food's going to freeze. So therefore he claims, even according to the Chazon Ish, there should be no violation if the motor of a refrigerator goes on. All right? That's what he suggests. I would have said, if that's the case, if you're in a bedroom and the light goes on and off, should also be no problem. You have to sleep with the lights off. Well, he says, no, it's considered not to, you're not using the lights when they're off. If they're not working, I'm not sure if that's such a great svara. But that's what he suggests. And then, Rabbi Osai, another fascinating dispute arises over here. What happens if you don't even complete the circuit right now, but you change the system to a point where now it's ready to do its job in a moment, if the circuit will be completed? The classical example is a situation of an alarm system where when I want the alarm to be in this making noise mode, I have to make sure that it's only broken in one place, and when the Ganav comes in, he will close that circuit and start the noise to come, or send the message to the police station. So if I don't want it to happen before I leave the house, I press a certain button and break it in the second place. So what's the difference? Argues of Shlomo Zalman and others. Broken one place, broken two places. Same, what's the difference? That's not enough air. Rav Halperin says, no. When it's broken in two places, then it's not, quote unquote, Omer al Tchunasa. Because then the Ganav comes in, nothing's going to happen. When you press the button down, so that now if someone opens the door, the alarm's going to go on. That itself is a violation, even though it's right now broken in one place instead of two. That's a sub dispute within this particular shaila. Okay? And then, the Posim suggests that if the circuit is complete, and only small changes are taking place within the circuit, then perhaps it's not considered to be a bone of even according to the Chazon Ish. What example can you give of something of this nature? A hearing aid. Not as the Shlomo Zalman did, turn it on and off. No, it's on all the time. But they have to walk it. There's no hearing aids, they have to adjust it. Higher, lower, it's too much noise. That's only an adjustment. There's always current going through it. You're not making or breaking any circuits, you're just adjusting it. So he suggests that would not be considered a violation, even if you adjust it. That's a question whether that's true or not true. And there could be cases where an individual will create a similar circumstance, adding water to a cold water vaporizer, so the machine has to work a little bit harder, right? Or on both sides, someone has a hearing aid. Even if he doesn't turn it up and down these days, they're so computer savvy, when you walk from place to place and there's more or less background noise, there's certain changes in the computer system circuitry of the hearing aid. So if Usher Weiss Shlita and his Minchas Usher, Shulman says, you can't ask for that. Why not? His circuitry is being adjusted. Nah, he says, that's too small. No one pays any attention to it, especially if you can't really see any direct results from it. So he's a maker of that child. On the other hand, if you do create a result, he's the biggest machmer in the world. Oh, man, He says a chiddush nifla, that even if you say you press a code in the an alarm system that people have, or you walk in and you're making you're putting on bedafka, an LED light, things of this nature. He wants to say, even if technically speaking, you will avoid all the lamatas malachas, we'll nab you anyway. It's called makam apatish. He has a basically Yerushalmi, a broad view. Whatever intuitively we know is a malacha, but doesn't fit in any one of the 38 categories, throw it into makam apatish. It's a catch-all. So he has a kula, if it's not such a noticeable result, and a tremendous chumra, if it is, it's an Adam Gadol, but Osher Weiss has his own chidush in the floor. And there are two of them, typically, a kula and a chumra, respectively. Fine. Good. These are some of the issues that we spoke about in terms of electric circuits on Shabbos. Good. Rabosa, let's go a little bit further in this sugya. The sugya of Bona has a remarkable portion. We have quite a few. The first one for today in the sugya Sagamar itself is the Mishnah Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Let's turn, please, to Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. See what it says there. Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Shover Adam Esachovis Lechalim and the Grogros. Stop right there for the moment. What does that mean? What do the words mean? What do the words mean? So, the Rambam seems to say it's purely a matter of your kavan. There are two people doing exactly the same thing. One is Osir, one is Mutter. It all depends upon your kavan. Now, he do not apply the principle of sigresha, the famous Magid Mishri, so quoted many times, the Perikin Beis, I think Halacha Beis, where he says certain types of malachas, such as tikkun, it's only a tikkun if it's a tikkun for you. Person wrote something, person planted something. You can't say, well, it's not a right, it's not a plant. It is objectively. When it comes to a tikkun, the very definition of the tikkun not depends upon the individual who's doing it. And if he doesn't care about it, then it's not considered to be a malacha in the first place. We don't say it's a psikration. It's any of the scholar of psikration. It's nothing. That seems to be the shot of the Magid Mishnah over here. The Meiri says something very similar over here. Ein a makam in the kli, lo chal alav shem kli, alfa gav de mamela havel kli. Okay? I didn't do anything. Ein a makam in the kli klal, lo chal shem kli umut. That's what the Meiri says, the Ramban says. This is one sheet. Rashi disagrees. Take a look at Rashi. Uvulvaj le'iskav al-asas kli, l'nok v'yofa b'pesach no. There are many girsos. But obviously, according to the sheet of Rashi, le'iskav means don't use iskav for a different mitzias. Just smash it to get the figs out. But don't use iskav to create a proper... call it a pretty hole, right? No, for Yofa Pesach, not in the Yofa, no, this is pretty, beautiful, right? We spoke about Benos Yisrael, no, say, Yofa, say. So, perhaps we're talking about a hole in a barrel. But still, the same description, right? Yofa, no, means, you know, Kalanova Chasuda, a beautiful hole, a beautiful opening in the barrel. That do you not come out for. So, according to Rashi, there's two different Matthias, right? Don't do what we call in our language a different mitzias. Don't have this different mitzias. Be careful not to do that. This is Shitas Rashi here, and both Rashi and Beit Salam and Gimel as well. So it comes out that according to Shitas Rashi, what are we saying over here? Just break it, don't make a Pesach Dor. According to the Rambam, we're saying break it, right? And then we say an additional condition. Don't have kavana to make a kli. Don't make the chavis into a kli. If you have kavana to make the chavis into a kli, it would be a halach problem. That's a machlokes. Now, the Gemara and Shabbos is nothing. You get the impression, break any barrel you want. But of course, we know that Shas is big, and some of the other mesechta, there are things which are not found here. Beit Olam and Gimel and Beis The Gemara explained that this mission refers to a kind of mustaki. What is mustaki? Tosas quotes it over here. Tosas shover. They quote that lamed gimel of base. Right? What does mustaki mean? Says Rashi. Chav is shvura over dabkin shvorea v'sraf shal eitz she'osim imenu zefes v'koren resin. Resin, gum. Stuck together with some resin or gum. That's permissible. Why? That the chavis shari, the machmas greyuso lo chayis alei, v'leka lemecha shemi yiskave in lasas kli. The simple reading of our Tosus is that the reason why a kli which is not mustaki is usur is not because of the shavira itself, but rather because of the possibility you're going to make a nice opening in it to preserve it long term with a nice opening, which would be an Easter of Binyan. That's a simple read of our Tosus. Okay, simple read of our Tosus. Okay? So I both say Tosus is saying a Chiddush, although Agamara is silent, got it very often in Shas. Divrei Torah Aniyim B'malkam Echad V'Ashirim B'malkam Achim. Here the Gemara is silent. We have to rely on the Sugin and Beitza, which says, referring to a case of Mustaki. Now, the question, of course, becomes, if you look carefully in the Masechta Beitza, only according to Rabbi Lezer's opinion, is to say Mustaki. Says Tosas, no, that's true. But I feel the Rabbana mi bora luk mi hachi. You have to say, even according to Rabbana, in Beitza Lam Gilad's Mustaki. Why? Rabbana lo pliga Rabbi Lezer de kama lo yichtemen el pirish lo yichtem es ahadas lo riech bol ha mishum yu sfir le de ktimas kisim chayim chachach shikom olach lo shira. Okay? If not for mustagi, it's a kasha, etc. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, everyone says it's referring to mustagi, and therefore, Kuli Alma holds that, everyone holds that way. So says Tosu over here, Gav Kufa and Bava Maral, in Masechta Shabbos. Fine? It's interesting, without going into the whole pratum of the sugya in Masechta Beitza, which is of course important, but we just have time to go through the do it in the Chazara. You get an impression that there's a Tosus in Averman, Lama Dalam and Beitz. The simple way starts over here, look at the very top. Not because of Erevin, the last one line, that Lama Dalam Beis Visham. What does Visham mean? Look at Tarsus there. Erev from the son of Amiglav and all the fun of Adam Afteach. I raise the Erev. Why? Uba Malkam Echad, Uba Malkam Acher. So the Amiglav Shal Binyan, etc. Whole discussion. Says Tosin Erevin, the problem is Rabosai, this Yesh Binyan Ustira Gemura Bekalim. We discussed this at the end of the Shira on Thursday. The Tosus is not worried in Erevin about the possibility that when you break it, you'll lead to a subsequent violation of making a pretty hole. No. The breaking itself is a violation. I ain't binyan bekelin, it's here bekelin. No. It's binyan and stira gemura bekelin. So there could be, again, there could be two separate reasons why it is prohibited. One is because it may calmly day a siach pesach yafet. Tosus here in the Sefer Shabbos. Two, the breaking itself is a violation of Binyan, Gomer, and Stira Gemura v'Kalin. That's what it says, but if it's a Chavis Shalema. Alright. Different opinions in the Rishon. So Machlokas, Gedola, Rishon, and Rabosai in the Suda. Let's chazer again. According to the Rambam and others, many others, we don't paskin Mustaki. Mustaki is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, and we follow the Rabbanan, and explains very well why here in our Gemara, the Gemara never said a word about Mustaki. Our Gemara is the Halacha. Take a look, I'm going to show it to you for a minute. In the Korban Asano, he points this out here in the Masechta Shabbos, Perech Chav Beis, Simen Vav, even Rabbanan have to have Mustaki. So if you look at the Korban Asano, Os Hey, Bahalochas means the Rif, Varamba, Hey Viu Masdisin Shover, Achavas Kitsu Rasa, Velo Chilku Dafke B'Mustaki. They hold, Hila Rabbanu V'Rabbelezer, also Lichtel Nachum Moshinov, that's different. Then you're afraid Shemi Yitaka Kis Nach Bashinam to clear Lach Likul and Malcha. But Shover, it's all Midir Abanan. It's not Kedera. But if it's not Kedera, so then we can be Megal if he's just having Kavanah to get out the figs. Calls the Ran, the Mesechta Beitza says that. And then he gives Terutzim to the various questions. He doesn't understand why the rush of all the Mechabrim and Beis Yosef, who usually follows the Riff and the Rambam, why they have the same Shita, why did he leave it out? It passed like the rush against the Riff and the Rambam. And the old Meladina, look at this, a little bit gutsy here, the last line of Hay. Are they Tziru of Heter Kal, and the Eslok al Devrayim, Lahatil Lishbor, Klisholim, Lotziok, and Afil Lechatchila, Kain Lirali. Wow. Against the rush. After all, we have the Riff and the Rambam. So it's a good question. Why don't we say that there's a famous rule, two against one? Two against one, that's the Beis Yosef's own rule. So why did he abandon his two against one rule over here and pass at the rush against the Riff and the Rambam? That's an excellent question. We gave an answer. According from one of the recent svarim, that the Riff and the Rambam are not necessarily saying the same thing. One of them says, "Ein binyan v'stira b'kelim klal." Nothing to talk about. That the Rambam shot in the Riff. But the Rambam seems to have a different shot. No, he holds there is binyan v'stira b'kelim. Porik davar b'davar. Only thing is, in this particular case, the Rambam paskins that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Presumably because it's not considered to be a steering gemurah in this case. What do you do? He broke a barrel. He made a hole in the barrel to get out the figs. It's not called a steering gemurah. So since the Rambam and the Riff have two different shitas, they can't gang up on the rush and then outvote it. That's a fancy shot to explain why the Mechaber passed like the rush and not like the Riff and the Rambam to enter the kasha of the carbon and the saddle. He's not being consistent with his own rules. Fine. This is the Yisod. Okay, this is the Yisodus of the Sugya of Shover Adam Chavis and Af Kuf Mem Vav Amen Al. I should add, before we even get any further, that we have a remarkable Rashi on the Mishnah itself. Rashi says, why is it Mutter? The aim of Mekalkel Shemisa B'Shams. So the Ran goes to town again. What do you mean? Mekalkel is also the Rabbanan. We said a pshat in the Sassemes, and I think others said the same pshat, that no, that's not what Rashi meant. Rashi, as we mentioned on Thursday, holds Ein, Binyan, and Stir, Bekelem, Klal, ever, ever, ever. All the Gemaras say Chayev, all Bishamaka, Bepatish. The only thing is, there is no twin of Baka, Bepatish. Go back to our first day of the Shir. The twins and the cousins. Maka, Bepatish is the cousin of Bona. It has no twin. Only Sos is twin of Bona, not a Makam Patish. What Rashi means over here, Ein b'mekalkel shemisa, doesn't mean is that one of the lamakas belongs to mekalkel. That's also the Rabbanan. What it means over here is that it's no malach in the first place. It's Ein binyan and stira b'kelim whatsoever. So therefore, we have a right to say if the opposite of Makam Patish is nothing, it's not a problem at all. Fine. How do we pass the halacha on this thorny question? Very difficult to say precisely. If you open up to the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Hosai, Shin Yud Dalet, please give a look. Shin Yud Dalet, the beginning. Ein binyan istir b'kelim. Boom. Says the Mechaber, wait a minute. Hani mili sheino binyan mamish. Don chavis. The Nishbra, the Dibra Shrub is Ephes. Mustaghi passes. Right? That's what the Kobe Talis complaining about. Then you can break it to some. As long as you have it, the Naka neck of Yavash is the Pesach. That's the Gemara as Rashi understood it. I'll be talking Mana. Fine. Shlemo also the Shavra Philip Inishan also Kli. Why? Why is it also? Zok Mishnebu Zayin. Mitam Stira. That's the Kalkal Rabbanim Yawasim, as we saw. Says the Gra, no! Ain't steer b'kelim! Ever, ever, ever! Unless you make a fancy opening, or clean, that's makom patish. Now, that being the case, we can explain it over here. The issur is not the shvir itself, but the shvir, lest you come to make a Pesach Yafa, as Rashi said, in which case you'll be over a makom patish subsequently. That could be a pshat. So it's not even clear in the Mechaber, what is this pshat? He says, ain't being a steer b'kelim, but this kind of case, there is a certain problem. What is the nature of the problem? It's a question. The Mechaber passes in Shin Yudal Siv Zayin, Posachat shal eitz shal matis, oslaf kia l'shaber, the b'kelim nami shayim binyin gomur, who's Stira Gemura? What could be more explicit? There's Binyan Gomer and Stira Gemura. Yeah, but that might be only the case of you're breaking the lock. That means you had a lock and you're breaking it. That is Binyan, that's Stira Gemura. Contrast that to our situation of a barrel. You poke a hole in the barrel to get it to fix, that's like considered breaking it completely. That's what you saw in the Rishonim. That's the way we learned from the two Tosin on our Omud. Kuf Mem Vav Omud Aleph. That they shouldn't contradict each other. This is a possible pshat. Fine. It's a little bit of an interesting discussion on both sides, but the afilus. I'm not going to go into it right now, but Kivega talks about it. So we'll just leave it. I'm running out of time. We'll have to leave that for. If you look at your notes, you'll see it. We cannot go into it right now. Fine. So now with all this theoretical stuff, let's get to tachlis. Halacha l'maaseh. If Shalashud is, they forgot to open the tuna fish. They open the tuna fish again on Shabbos or not? That's the big question. What do you say about that? Should it be usher? Should it be mutter? Based upon what we've seen until now. Let's analyze it based on what the post was saying. So here we have, Rabosai, the following. Chazanish said something which perhaps is misinterpreted. The lashon that they use is Chazanish can is quote sasa mikol tzad lav kliu uksha'osa lo pesach nasa kli. So there are many who took the Chazanish literally. Can that's completely welded shut is not called a kli, and therefore if you open it you're over, paradoxically, not Mishum Soser, because it wasn't the plea at all, but rather Mishum what? Mishum Bone. Wow. What a Chiddush Nifla Menorah. Chiddush Nifla Menorah. And everyone agrees that that's pshat. The Megillah Sefer says that's not what he meant. Shlomo Zalman looked at the questions. Tefillin is called a kli. You know, you soak your tefillin, and it's tight shut. You leave it there for years. It's still called a kli, a kabel tumah, etc. No, he never meant that. The holy chazanish didn't mean that, right to the Megillah Sefer. I think he's right. Doesn't mean it is a kli. Of course it's a kli. Of course it's a kli. However, Rabbi Osai, when you open it up, that's not called a stira. Stira is a negative thing. Here, from Karet's opinion, insofar as that the purpose of this kli. Not that the tuna fish should speed until Mashiach comes. The purpose of the kli, the tuna fish should be put there in the packing plant and eat by you shalashudas. That's the destiny of the tuna fish, to be eaten in shalashudas. Make a bracha on it, whatever you want. That's its destiny. So that's, after that, in order to accomplish that, you have to open the can. So, if you have a barrel, which already has an opening, namely the opening on top, and therefore that opening was not misbottled by the whatever you put there, the covering, because that could easily come on and off. So the second opening that you make is considered stira and not binyan. You're not making this already, it was a hole. Unless you have a chavim to make a pesach yof. This is, I believe, the correct pshat in the Chazanish, which is offered by the Megillah Sefer, one of our favorites from that we have. Okay. Bottom line though, no matter how you slice it, it's still going to be a problem. It's still going to be a problem. Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shemir Shabbos, wanted to be matir, because he says he, and again he proves it's considered to be a kli. It is a kli. It is a kli. You now have a brand new opportunity to take the tuna fish out of the kli which you did have before. So what? As I said before a few times, before now it was a perfect vessel to transport and keep things vacuum packed and fresh and not spoiled. But you couldn't eat from it. Now it's flipped. You can eat from it, but it lost its characteristic of being able to hold the food in fresh indefinitely. All right. So just a change. It got better. Just change its use. Change its use cannot be considered as such an improvement. Shlomo Zalman said in another footnote that if you take a block of wood and make it into a toothpick, so that's considered to be an improvement. But more than that, you take a toothpick and you chisel away some more, it can fit into the smallest crevices within your teeth. Says the Shlomo Zalman, that's also an improvement. That's a chiddush, because there's an expression in America, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It now wasn't broke. It was an excellent toothpick, you just want to make it a little bit thinner. Who said that's considered to be in the category of bona? Shlomo Zalman wants to be a machmor, not shaila. But even so, you can argue, there it's a complete improvement. Hasn't lost its initial characteristic, and it's just it's made a little bit better, more precise, and you're using it as a toothpick to pick between your teeth. Over here, however, it's you win some and lose some. You win the ability to get the tuna fish out, you lose the ability to keep the tuna fish fresh. You don't find necessarily any source for that. Shlomo Zalman did say, we'll get to later today or tomorrow, with his twist-off caps, which is what bothered us a little bit, but from our perspective, if it's not a complete improvement, we don't have any sources in the original halacha to say that it is in fact prohibited. I didn't find any such sources. So again, according to this interpretation, it should be permissible. Now, Rav Moshe is a famous truva. Rav Moshe writes that the reason why it's permissible to open the tuna can and whatever things we have here in the sugya is because the vessel is considered secondary to its contents. Then it doesn't have a shem kli. Lupsha. It's like kliipos or gozim, as the Shulchan puts it in that comparison based on Rishon based in their case. It's like the shell of a nut, secondary to its contents. So the can is secondary to its contents, and therefore, if Moshe wants to suggest, not called a kli. Nafkamina, Menichas Tvilas Kalim. If someone decides to use, it's unlikely when it comes to metal, more likely with respect to glass, you take a Snapple bottle, you decide you want to use it forever for your, you have to put your water in the refrigerator, but you're not chayav in Tvilas Kalim. Why? Why? But it's a kli. No. When you bought the Snapple, it wasn't a kli, because it was meant to be put right back into the recycling. It was never, who knows, they break it, maybe they do it, what they do there, and then throw in the garbage if you're not so environmentally correct, whatever it may be. So that's, it's considered secondary to its content. And no shame kli. You decide you ought to be environmentally correct, and you're not going to use this glass over and over and over again. That's your decision. You're Jewish. So a Jew made it into a kli. That's what Moshe told the Chuvah about the same topic. So therefore, the tuna can is not considered a kli because it's considered secondary to its contents, namely the tuna fish. Oh. But it is true that when the Chazon Ish said what he said that in those days when he wrote this piece, they were using the tuna cans to keep nails and soap, the tuna cans. No one in this room keeps tuna cans with nails or soap, so forget about it. Even the Chazon Ish would say it's mutter. Why is it mutter? What are you worried about? You made it into a kli. It's not called a kli. It's garbage. It's a hunk of junk. It's thrown into the garbage. The problem is, there's a phrase in that chazanish. One phrase. Quote. I'm going to read the phrase. V'zimnin de'eno ochel kol adagim hashta v'nichalei v'shimusha. Sometimes you don't consume all of the tuna fish in one shot, and you want to use that can. At first glance, this is bad news for tuna fish fans. Because very often, we'll have a tuna fish, we'll take out half, we'll leave the other half. Now I know there's mercury poisoning, supposed people are not putting it into Tupperwares. Not everybody. Since it's old-fashioned juice, you leave it in the tuna can for a little while longer until you finish it, and then you throw the can out. That's a serious problem. It's a serious problem. Is that what he meant? So once again, we have a remarkable explanation. This can't be, argues the Binyan Shabbos. It can't be. Why not? Because the Chazanish's Lashon is, quote, Ritzono b'nekev shi'iskayim lahotzi ayayin derech sham b'chol eis. B'chol eis. Says the Binyan Shabbos, I think he's right again, that when the Chazanish said Zimnin, that he sometimes uses for the remaining fish that's left behind, he's going back what he said before. You're going to use it for the soap, and you're going to use it for the nails. So why does he mention the fact that now there's some extra fish in it that you haven't consumed right away? To teach you that you're using it already now, starting now and continuing indefinitely. When you get rid of the second part of the fish and then put in soap and nails instead, it's indefinite use. But it started now. In order to be chayav mishum bonas, you have to be starting now. But in a case in which you're never going to use it for the nails or the soap, then the mere fact that you leave the fish until you finish eating it, that in and of itself would not be considered bona, according to Shita's Chazanish. I think he's right. Again, I can't prove it, but it makes sense to be based on the context over there. Fine. Now, in this same idea, what about the following situation? The following situation. You have, these days, you have certain types of, should I say it? There are certain bags, even. Bags. What kind of bags? Bags, for example, that you use for milk. Those bags that have an Eretz Yisrael. There, it's so tightly closed that it might be considered to be comparable to a tuna can. I never saw anybody in Eretz Yisrael that had those bags take something and try to pull it open at that spot. You've seen it? Never. So you won't get anywhere. You make it, you take a scissor, you snip it on the corner or something like that. So there, that could be, possibly may be a similar situation to the tuna can, which could create a serious problem. Once again, if we are correct that the bag is thrown out as soon as you finish the milk, the way we understood it, it should be mutter on the ground that it's considered to be secondary to the condensed, or on the ground that it's not considered to be a cleave, it's not to be used after the contents are emptied out. Yeah, it really always was a cleave. That, again, it depends how you learn it. If it was not a cleave at all, it's a kind of moisture trap, then I make it into a cleave. No, it's buckled to the condensed, never was a cleave, it's not going to be a cleave, forget about it. According to the Chazanish, we assume it really was a kli, now you're improving it, because the pencil was broken, but according to what we just said now, that's only going to be used again. It's not going to be used again, it's thrown right away, presumably in this case as well. Ad Khan, this particular example. But there are other examples, we're also going to talk about other examples. Let's discuss other ones. We're on the topic of these food containers. Let's go, we can try to finish it as follows. I have a number of different types coming up. This is very, very important. Let's first talk about a twist-off cap of a... No, say that later. Let's first talk about a pop, pull up, what do you use? A Coke can. You pull up the, pull up the little metal piece, and everybody opens up a beautiful hole to drink the Coke. Ah, America's drink. All the ads, the guys drinking up the Coke, the schmack. But may you do that on Shabbos, yes or no? May you do that on Shabbos, yes or no? A very, very serious question. A very serious question. May it be done or not? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about this. He says, he thinks that there's room to be lenient. Room to be lenient. Why? I would say this is a really serious violation. Why is it a serious violation? You're making a neck of your oven, make a beautiful hole in a can, which was sort of really, really solid before that. I would say it's a very serious violation. Shlomo Zalman said, it's mustaki. Mustaki. So the Binyan Shabbos asked him, it's printed in this conversation in the Sefer. What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you mean, mustaki? What mustaki? This thing is very stark if we transport it across the country. Why are you considering it to be mustaki? The end of the day, if you look carefully at Shlomo Zalman's back and forth with the Binyan Shabbos, you get an impression he's saying the standing is Rav Moshe, that the soda can is not considered to be a can because it's bottled to its contents. You finish the Coke, you throw the can to the garbage. And therefore, it's not considered to be a kli. Okay, that's how I understand the Moshe, I understand the Shlomo Zalman, I understand that very nicely. There's only one problem left. That's true with respect to making the can into a kli. Go to the garbage, it's nothing. But what about the opening? Isn't the opening a separate violation? It's a separate Isser known as Asiyas Pesach. Asiyas Pesach could be a separate violation, even if the kli itself is going to go into the garbage. It's a separate iser of Asiyas Pesach. That's a question. If there's no such iser of Asiyas Pesach, he can clearly understand it. The iser of Asiyas Pesach is a serious problem. A serious problem. Both sides. If you look carefully in the Rashi that we saw, on the Kuf Mem Vav and Aleph, the Binyan Shabbos and Etzim Shlomo Zalman, they were only made to break a chametz. You are using you're not breaking it at all. Shlomo Zalman says, yes, they were not their only breaking, because breaking is a possibility. When it comes to a can or these, there's no other possibility. So they were not there to do it. Why? It's going to be thrown out. And it is not lenok for yofer la sosa kli. Who says that? Not Rashi. The Ran said. So it's Gavin. Last of three, the first two words come from Rashi, but the other words from Pesach Noah, but Pen Noah, the Ran's words are La Sosa Kli. Welcome Shlomo Zalman. I think all the Tzion is correct. You should not be allowed to open the soda can the regular way, because you can open it halfway. There's another alternative. Open it halfway, you don't have a Pesach Yof. It's interesting about Sai. They're really two different girsos. We have a girso, Uvavashi Yiskavin, La Sos Kli. What's La Sos Kli? The Pesach itself is a violation. The Rif's girso about Sai is La Sos Kli. La Sos is Lush in the Kaver. Where does it go on about Sai? It goes on the Chavis. Goes on the chavis. And that's the Ran says, Lenok Fayokal so sa kli. He had the gear says harif. So come Shlomo Zalman is right. You throw it to the garbage, there's no problem. It's not a kli. But our gear says la sos kli. And therefore it seems that the Isser is the Pesach itself. If the Isser is the Pesach itself, it doesn't matter, it doesn't help the fact that you're going to throw the can into the garbage. It shouldn't matter. It should be a violation anyway. And therefore, the Fiani is that one should not be opening these soda cans on Shabbos. You want to open it at halfway, as per the Ohr LeZion. That's not considered the proper way to do it. And you can still get the soda out by pouring it out. Take a little bit longer, but okay. Better that way than having a Shabbos Chilul Shabbos. The cane literally, again, I'm telling you what Shlomo Zalman is against, but I thought that's what one should do. Similarly, I'm sorry to start with my chumras. I have coolers, Rabbi Osei. I still have 20 minutes to take my coolers. Let's first discuss the chumras. Similarly, I'm sorry to say, I don't have to be a machmir for Shabbos, that I think it's prohibited to open a milk carton on Shabbos. They call it carton chalav. Why? I think it's two violations. Number one, you are making a Pesach Noah. You're making a perfectly shaped spout. And this spout, I claim, never existed in history. If you look in the milk factories, they take a cardboard, goes straight up, four walls going straight up, then they pinch it like this, and they press it like that. So that's the, then when I open it, for the first time in history, you have a spout. There was never a spout before in this material. So I thought you're doing it from scratch, a very serious violation of making a Pesach Yafa known as a spout. So I thought the Shadow of Moshe holds the Shadow of a Doraisa. Shadow of Doraisa is from Moshe. Wow. A Shadow of Doraisa. Obviously called the Shlomo Zalman, it's no problem. He considered it, there's no Easter of making a Pesach, it's Easter of making a Kli, the Chavis itself. Here it goes to the garbage, there's no problem. I was told that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was once asked after a bunch of Shuvah came out, what's it did? They showed us stuff when he went to visit his son in Philadelphia Yeshiva. And he said to him, what's wrong? And he opened it right in front of them. Because Rabbi Yaakov Shashem Yisrael Darais. Argue the Torah, we're allowed to argue with each other, Baruch Hashem. The Torah is not monolithic. I'm just giving you, I happen to hold Rabbi Yaakov is certainly to be Choshesh in this case. And beyond that, Rabbi Osai, aside from the we'll call this a Shalva Daraisa of Pesach Yofer, there's another issue. On the Kuf Mem Vav Omid Beis, Rabbi Osai, Kuf Mem Vav Omid Beis is another violation. What's the other violation? The violation is making what we call a Marzev. What is a Marzev? What does the word Marzev mean? What is it? A Marzev means some kind of a spout that will allow the liquid to be poured out more easily. That's a song that should apply over here in our case as well. So this is what I think is a very serious problem of Marzev. Zer Misha Marzev, it's like Rashi Shema Yochid Marzev, they even make a Zer because of Marzev. Marzev is a specialized type of a shape. And therefore they can't even use something like a Hadas. Zer Misha Marzev. Okay, fine. Does it also say it's not a Marzev? A Marzev is something only over and above the receptacle itself. You have a receptacle and you put in the Marzev beyond it. But this is part of the receptacle. I hear the slur, I have no proof for it. No proof whatsoever. I have to tell you that Rav Moshe, Zichrono Levracha, didn't say exactly like me. I think he's right, but a little bit lav mitameh. Rav Moshe said, and it's true, because Moshe, that the reason why we consider this situation to be what's called a violation of Nekev Chadosh, as opposed to looking at the fourth line of Kufa Mavar Beis, B'shavin Shenokun Nekev Yashon L'Chadchila, it was a L'mata Menayayin, L'mala Menayayin. If you look carefully in the Mefarshim, they explain that the strongest possible stima, the strongest possible sealant, that's considered to be a cancellation of the original opening, and to reopen it is like sort of considered considered opening from scratch. But Moshe said it about the milk of the ass. I thought that was very difficult. If you ever tried opening the wrong side of the top of the milk container, which I've unfortunately done more than once, I'm a little klutzy, it doesn't open well. Why? Because in a factory, when they gave a bang like this, watch, boom, they understand. This side you boom very hard. This side you boom a little bit softer. But this is the one that's not supposed to open, the one that's supposed to open. So how can Rav Moshe say that this is the most powerful sealant on this side? It's just not true. This is the most powerful one. So I don't understand what Rav Moshe said, but in my opinion, as I told you before, there was never such an opening ever. It was just a straight square. Now it's open for the first time. So again, I'm like Rav Moshe, but a little bit b'lavi tameh. So we've discussed Rav Moshe so far, my chumrus. Okay, my chumrus. Yeah, to start with chumrus. I don't think you should be opening those soda cans the regular way. If you want to open it halfway and pour it out. And you should not be opening the milk containers. But my baby needs milk. What we used to do if you forgot before Shabbos, we take a knife and go boom, take that, pierce a hole in the bottom of the milk container, take a pot and put it underneath, and all the milk was gathered in the pot, and we put the pot in the fridge, and we'd have enough milk to last for the whole Shabbos. No problem. That's what I think you should do if you forget. Those are my chumras. But we can't end with chumras. We still have 15 minutes. We can't end with chumras. Let's have a little bit of either from neutral or even a few cools. Okay. We're both sides. We have to do that. That's only right. Let's talk about other kinds of bags that are very common in our lives. Very, very common in our lives, these kinds of bags. You have, I don't know, let's call it potato chip bags, cookie bags. What's it in? So the Chazon Ish says, quote, Kol she'osek lahotzi yayin ve'osa derech hashchasa lo chayal shem korea v'shem sosek. Okay? So if you open it, you don't try to throw it away and you finish it. Even if you don't rip it to shreds, you leave it until you finish all of its contents. You know how it works with potato chips. Once you start your key, you have to finish, you know? That's part of the... Okay, those are the smaller bags. I'm not going to finish in 1 second. I'm sitting and learning Torah. And just keep myself awake. It's late at night. There's some potato chips. Okay. One chip, two chips, three chips. Take me an hour until I finish all the chips. And for that hour, I wanted the bag to be there. Doesn't matter. Still considered to be permissible. According to this understanding. Because after all, it's considered to be derech hashchasa. Based on Simon Shin Yudalid, Siv Zayin. It's based on Shibboleth Halakhet, Beis Yosef. The Kalkel, the Psikas Tolush, Mutal the Gamer. Based on Beis Alam and Aleph. Chosam Hashem Bekelem Choteich. That's all. As long as you're not making a kli, it's going to be the Kalkel, the Shavanok, Siv Zayin, Siv Ches, Siv Tes. You're ripping a string. We never found. Take the string and rip it to shreds? No? Or you open the barrel to get rid of to get to the figs. We never saw you have to take out all the figs immediately. Never heard of anything. We have a concept of Korea or Apia Chavis. Before she then accept the quote of the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah. It's nothing. There's no Easter of Korea in the kind of situation. This is all against the Pre-Chadosh. The Pre-Chadosh says, you're not called a mekalkel. Why? Because you want to get out the contents. If you're not called a mekalkel, he considers this to be a violation. Whereas the Mishnah Berurah was more makel than that. If you break a barrel, it's called mekalkel. Problem is, why is the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Pre-Chadosh of Siman Shin Mem? So if you give him the Bialaba, shouldn't have quoted it. That's a serious problem. But the bottom line is that we have a right to be lenient in such a case, to open the potato chips bag of this type, if it's really fundamentally to go into the garbage, even if you're not going to put it into the garbage immediately. But they have certain bags, which maybe you're better off not opening at the very top. Potato chip bag, instead of opening at the very top where it's stuck together, just rip it a little bit. That's better. What about opening at the top? So we spoke about it a long time ago. We spoke about Korea. We said if it's made to be used by the consumer, that dibuk, the yoros, even though it's more than 24 hours, it's still considered to be tentative according to the levush against the taz, and it should be no use of Korea in that kind of a circumstance. The problem is that sometimes people will open on the top for a particular reason. They want to reseal it there. Some of these newer bags, you open at the top, they can be, am I correct? Am I telling the truth? We resealed in a very good way, almost like a kind of a Ziploc. It's not exactly the same, but we resealed like some of these pretzel bags, we reseal on top to keep the freshness of the contents. That to me is a problem. That is a problem. You want it to remain complete. That's not called Derech Hashchasa. If it's not called Derech Hashchasa, then there could be a potential problem. So therefore, I think we should not rip it in that situation because of that problem. So you got for me a lot of coolers, but one little tiny chumrah. But the poskim will say they have these little ice cream or ices kind of in a stick or in a cone or in some kind of another container, and it's paper on top of it. You're allowed to rip it even at the place where it's sealed together, because then you're eating the whole thing immediately and the paper is ruined. It's like Korea or Piachavis, and it should be considered permissive. Okay? So we ended up so far with a leniency. Now we come to our final discussion for today, because we're out of time. And I wanted to discuss, I don't think I'll get to it today, maybe. Mechatech. I fell between the cracks. One day I said I'm going to start with Mechatech, and I forgot. I didn't forget. I forgot that day, but I didn't forget completely. I'm saving it for now. Because this particular issue that we're going to discuss right now has combined mechatech with other issues. And that is bottle caps. What's the halachic status of bottle caps? We haven't spoken about it yet. Well, other things. What's the status of a bottle cap? So here, Abosai, I'm almost seems to be a contrarian. Until now, I was more machmir than the Rav Shlomo Zalman, both when it came to the soda can and when it came to the milk container. Now it's backwards. Comes to the twist off bottle caps, Shlomo Zalman acid it, although at the end he was matter the plastic version, but he seems to still be answering the metal version. I'm not fully sure exactly what the Metzias is different. One is made on the bottle, one's made before the bottle. I don't fully see the difference between you and me. But that's what he seems to suggest. It's a problem. What's the problem? Well, let's take a look. Hakam the Chazon Ish, who is the author of these, didn't discuss it. They didn't have it this day. What did they have? They had the old-fashioned bottle caps. They called Pekak Keter, like a crown. I'm told this letter of certain bottles, certain beverages, which I think you're not permitted to drink. The first letter was B, and the second and last letter was R, and a few E's in between. But I don't want to say the word. But that's I'm told they still have those kind of covers in that kind of a bottle. And the whole world did that. We grew up. Coca-Cola, they still have, I'm told, coming back.
Yeah, they still have
some. Oh, Hashem, it's coming back for the 50s. They have the, you know, the Coke bottle, you get one of those, you know, Matoya, you know, a bottle, a little, that's how we grew up. That was the only thing that existed in those days, before they had the two-stop caps. That's mutter. Now the question becomes, if that's mutter, then why is the twist-off cap also? How do you distinguish between one and the other? So the Chazon Ish is matter that kach, quotes the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos Daf Memches, ze chibur, ze eino chibur. This is not considered to be chibur. It's not like you welded a tuna can. No, you have a bottle, a glass bottle with a metal on top. It's not a chibur. It's a covering. No problem. We should view you as breaking the bottle cap itself. You're guilty of soser for the bottle cap itself. No. You don't find issue of soser by the Gufa Sachovis. Not a problem. Why? Because the lock that you may not break, that we saw right over here in Tosis Matin, as you may not break this posachas. Posachas shalaytis shalmatas os l'shavar l'afir. Why? That's a lock. The lock is supposed to be a permanent lock. You pick a lock, you break a lock, yeah, it's a bad thing. You have to go to the locksmith to fix it, more like buy a new one. You broke something which is meant to be there forever. But this bottle cap, not meant to be there forever. It's only meant to be there until you drink the Coca-Cola. So therefore, he says, that's not considered to be a problem. It's only put there in order to be there until you open, take the contents out. That's perhaps what he suggests. Maybe he means it's not considered to be a clean in the first place. It's only meant to keep the fizz in that particular Coca-Cola. That's there. Wait a minute. If that's the svara, maybe we should apply the same svara to the twist-off cap. Whoa. Maybe I should be murdered. Twist-off cap has lost its shem kli because it's only meant to cover this particular bottle of seltzer or soda. I'm not so happy with that leniency. You know why? I've seen many times. I go to Shalashudas. You open up 10 bottles of soda, and all the people passing by the soda and passing by the caps, and they go back and forth across the table. At the end of the day, can you be guaranteed that that particular cap is put back on the same bottle of soda which it came from? I don't think so. Oh, the kids that start playing with them, you know, you still play that game? I think the 3-1s go one. No, you don't play that anymore. The kids just play that. Three of them, you go two, and then one get between the other two. And then no, they still play that child shoes. Yeah, kids will be kids. Okay, so then at the end of the day, you're putting this one and that one, not putting on the same ones. I don't think you can say it's bottle to the count is the same as we say that principle with respect to the original bottle caps, which are used and thrown out. You know, came there early. Okay, beyond that, I've also said. Beyond that, maybe it's a Sadahok. My main Sadahok is, in contrast to Shlomo Zalman's book, he says, you're now making it into a kli. I hold Rabbi Avad Yosef Maran was correct. When he says, what do you mean? It always was a kli. Hoya Hova V'yia. It was, is, and will be a kli. All you're doing is, you know, twisting it off and detaching it from the bottom, or the bottom, you know, it was loosened somewhat. Different. It always was a kli. It was and is a kli. Yes. You are changing its use. I'm the first to concede that. Can't deny the truth. Until now, it was a specialized kli in order to hold in the fizz. And now, it becomes a kli, which we're not going to hold it in so well, but it's going to open and close when you put it into the refrigerator and out again. It's a change. Since when is every change a violation? This goes back to what we spoke about a few minutes ago. Since when is a change a violation? I mentioned that the sefer called the Nachal Zered quoted a Gemara in Beitza, Lamed Beis, which he thought is a Raya Berura, that is Mutter, something called Ilfasin Charonio, which if you look there in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, they had these kinds of pans. They make them in twos, and they were together, so you can't use it as a pan, and they would use it as a table. Then it would separate them and use them as a pan. And the Gemara seems to say, this is Machlokes, so it seems to Paskin, that it's permissible. It is in fact permissible. So why is it permissible? The answer is, Rabbi Osai, the answer is, it was a kli and will be a kli. Even though it changed its usage. I thought that was a very nice raya. And Shlomo Zalman is modeh. When it comes to a plastic twist-off. I thought that the metal twist-off should be the same as the plastic twist-off. And here I want to come with the chumrah. I don't mean to be machmir. But those machmirim on the twist-off, they have an eitzah. What is the eitzah? Take a hammer and with some kind of a sharp implement and make a hole in the bottle cap. What's the pshat? Since it wasn't a kli, so you can make a hole, there's no easier of soap. So, no! According to me, for carrot, it is a kli. Right? That's a kula. But as you all know, every kula leads to a chumra, and vice versa. Since it is a kli, you have no right to be sorcerate. Ah, the Chazanish said, if you take out the contents of the derech hashchasa, it's not considered a violation of soap. So, no! That's where you need this hole. to limit it to get rid of the contents. But you need the hole only in order to avoid an Isra in their minds of Bona. Doesn't fit into that category. So I think one of the Sfarim says, you know what? Make such a big hole and then never open it. Just pour the stuff out. Oh, okay, maybe that's going to be mutter. The grounds that then it's already derech hashchasa, and you're getting the content out in that same fashion. Okay, that I can understand. I didn't understand that, but in my opinion, much more straightforward way, which I believe is permissible, is just twist it off and take it off. But once again, Rav Shlomo Zalman in his attempt to distinguish between this and the old-fashioned bottle caps said, the old-fashioned bottle was a kli beforehand. You know why? You can really take it off like this and put it back like this and on them without even, what? You're talking about Superman. I could never do such a thing. I can't take it off my hands. You need a bottle cap. What does the bottle cap do? It bent it a bit. And then you put it back on again because it was bent. And you can put it on your own hand, take it off, because it's not as tight as it was initially in the factory. So I don't see why that its facts to me are also highly problematic. And the biggest problem is that I'm out of time. So Rabosai, tomorrow, we'll start with Mechatech, and that certainly applies to these kinds of bottle caps as well as many other cases. Then we'll start talking about Oel Aroi, which is the next sugya bona. I have to start, I only have two more days, to start the union of Maver and Mechatech. And then the last year on Tuesday, try to finish that up and talk about the Roma of Segresha and all the complicated cases we spoke about the last 2 weeks. Okay? Try to be on schedule in class. If you want to have a minute, we have a minion right now.